Of course, we cannot go any further in our worship this morning without mentioning a little bit about St. Patrick. As a teenager, as I shared with our children this morning, that he was a young boy when he received a call to ministry. St. Patrick was kidnapped by Irish raiders, and he was enslaved as a shepherd for several years. And he attributed his ability to preserve and to live and to go on, and he attributed that to his faith in God. And after he escaped Britain, Patrick reported that he received a revelation, a vision. He said that he dreamt that an angel told him to return to Ireland to become a missionary. And Patrick was able to gain the trust of the Irish, and he actually used a lot of their culture to help teach about Christianity. And he began to lay the seeds for other missionaries who would come and help convert Ireland. And there's a story that's told about St. Patrick. St. Patrick was baptizing a king in the middle of the 5th century. And sometime during the baptism, St. Patrick, he leaned on his staff, which was pointed at the end of it, and he inadvertently stabbed the king's foot. Well, after the baptism was over, Patrick looked down, and he saw all the blood around the king's foot, and he realized that he had done it with his staff, with the pointed tip, and he begged the king for forgiveness. And then Patrick began to say, "Why did you suffer this pain in silence? Why did you do it in silence? How come you didn't tell me that you were in pain?" And the king replied, "I thought it was part of the baptism." At the expense of Patrick, we revisit in our sermon series another scripture text about forgiveness. In Matthew 18, if you have your Bibles or you have the scripture in front of you, we'll be looking at it this morning. In Matthew 18, Jesus and Peter have a very interesting conversation on forgiveness. Jesus proclaims a model of forgiveness between fellow disciples. And in verse 15 here, Matthew uses a very specific Greek word to retell the account of Jesus and his teachings on forgiveness. Here, Jesus, through Matthew, uses the Greek word adelphos, which refers here to a fellow disciple, a fellow person, whether male or female. And Jesus, by using this Greek word adelphos, brother or sister, he meant that the other disciples, John, Judas, Andrew, etc., that Jesus was laying out a pretty good model of forgiveness for Peter and all of his fellow disciples. And when we look at the scripture, we kind of break it down like this. Jesus says, first, confront the wrongdoer alone. Second, if they don't listen, that's not if they agree, if they refuse to listen. That's a verb there, so they have to listen. If they refuse to listen, bring 2 to 3 witnesses of those who witness the sin. And still, number 3, if they don't listen, tell the gathering. The Greek word here that's translated as church is a Greek word called ekklesia, which means the gathering. Tell the gathering of Christians who you are with. And if they still don't listen after that, number 4, leave the matter alone. Jesus said, treat them as you would a Gentile or tax collector. We look at the scripture as Christians and we say, well, that's all well and good, Jesus. But that doesn't happen in the real world, Jesus. This is the 21st century, not the first century. Because usually what happens when we try to respond to a wrongdoer, it goes something like this. First, we don't confront the wrongdoer alone. Second, we go tell 2 to 3 other people about the wrongdoer. And then third, then we tell everyone else we know about the wrongdoer. And after all that, we don't leave the matter alone. That's just, for us, naturally a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for frustration, for anger. That is a future without forgiveness. You know, it's interesting. Many of you have come to me after this sermon series or after worship or after one of the Bible studies I've led, and you've said, this topic has been so powerful for me. It's really been changing, and it's really been working on me. But often people say, okay, Pastor, how do I do it? How do I forgive? And I've talked about this in different ways. I've talked about giving analogies to holding rocks, using heavy backpacks, casting no stones. But today, I want to share with you how to forgive. Because if you do not forgive, you have no future. If you truly want some help with forgiving, I want you to remember this word, rap, R-A-P. And no, I'm not going to like bust out in hip-hop moves or stop rapping right now, but I want you to remember that word, rap, R-A-P. Not because of the word, but what it stands for. When we grapple with something like forgiveness, we first have to remember the R. And the R stands for remember your own shortcomings. In Matthew 18, Jesus tells a story of a man who has been forgiven an immeasurable debt. And in turn, that servant refuses to forgive a debt of a fellow servant. The master calls the servant in and has him punished. Jesus told a story on how, in order to have a future, you must remember your own shortcomings. Those little things about us that we struggle with. Laziness, anger, being judgmental. We all have our own small shortcomings. But when we're faced with a situation of a wrongdoer, we're faced with an opportunity for forgiveness, we must remember our own shortcomings. Because if we don't, we don't allow ourselves to come down and be at the same place as someone else. I mentioned the R, remember your own shortcomings. After R is the A, assume the best of people. Assume the best of people. At my former church, I had an army of ministry leaders who aided with my youth ministry. And one of them was sure that another leader in the ministry had wronged them, intentionally had wronged her. This leader met with me, and then she proceeded to tell me all the things that the person had gone wrong. She went on for a half an hour and laid out all the situations how this person wronged her, and she analyzed each of them as a way to show judgment against this other leader. And after she got it all out, I asked her this question. Did you ever think that this person made a mistake and you had it out for them since the beginning? The woman, at first, she rejected the idea with her body language. With her body language, she gave me like one of these, like, are you crazy? She didn't say that, but she was like, body language was like, are you crazy? Because then I asked her, did you ever go out and seek this person to hear their side of the story? And she thought for a moment, and she realized that she had assumed the worst of the other leader. She never, ever gave that person a chance. Jesus gave us a model here in Matthew 18 to assume the best of people. And that's why he instructed his disciples to meet one another in private when there is a wrongdoing. Maybe there's a misunderstanding. Maybe we might have missed something. If we don't assume the best of people, then we walk around with a loaded gun of anger, ready to unload it. But in order to move forward with a future, we must move forward with a future where we don't already reserve judgment without all the facts. After we remember our own shortcomings, after we assume the best of people, the P in rap, pray. Pray for them. I once was on a flight where a flight attendant was mean to just about everyone. And when I say she was mean, she was downright nasty to everyone who came on board. You know, as I came on board, I was like, you know, welcome to flying the friendly skies. It's like, welcome to flying the angry skies. You know, it was not a pleasurable experience to be on this flight. And she angrily told people to get off their cell phones. She snapped at me for my seat being 5 degrees pitched back accidentally. I didn't know that. Maybe it's because I'm a bigger guy and it was pushed back. Well, she let me have it. She was harsh. And I was like, man, who's spitting her coffee today? Well, once we were up in the air, I thought about the woman and I stopped and I prayed for her. And I thought in prayer, God, what does this woman need? We're going to be on a 2-hour flight, and it's going to be very unpleasant. What does this woman need? May your spirit be with her. That's what I prayed. And a few minutes later, as she delivered my Diet Coke, I said to her very clearly, thank you. Thank you for taking care of us today. You make a better flight for all of us. She was surprised because she knew how nasty she was being. And she said to me, and she looked at me, and she said, this is my 5th flight of the day. Now, for a flight attendant, that's a lot of flights in one day. She said, I'm spent, and everyone is just complaining today. She said, I think you're the only person who said thank you to me. And you know what? For the remainder of the flight, she was a better person. No anger shouts. No, here's your coffee. I'll spill it on you. If someone's seat wasn't upright as we landed, she politely asked that person to change their seat back upright. See, using this rap method, it can open doors for reconciliation. That if I went and I assumed the worst of this woman, you know what would have happened? The worst would have come out of her, because the worst would have come out of me. But if we are able to remember our own shortcomings, to assume the best in people, and to pray for them, you begin to see a future of forgiveness opening up for you. A number of years ago, during Christmas time, the New Life Church in Colorado Springs, which is a mega huge church, tragedy struck that church. There was an event. There was a shooting where several people in the church parking lot and in the building were killed. 3 dead, 3 wounded. You might have remembered this story a number of years back. And the young man who had done the shooting, he killed himself after being shot by a security guard. Earlier that day, he entered the Youth with a Mission headquarters in suburban Denver, and he shot a number of other people and killed them. His name was Matthew Murray, and he had been raised in a Christian home. Well, the tragedy struck the church. And the church had just begun to come out of the painful, very painful and very public story about their former pastor, Teg Haggard, who had several moral failures. And now they were faced with this horrible shooting tragedy. In a Christianity Today article, it was told that after granting the interview to talk about the day and its after effects, it was revealed that Brady Boyd, the current senior pastor of the church, called Murray's parents and asked them if they would like to come to the New Life Church and to see where their son had passed away. So this pastor called the shooter's parents and invited them. They said that they wanted to come, but they refrained from doing it because of concerns with the church. They were also asked if they'd be willing to meet with members of other families who lost sons, daughters that morning. Well, they finally said yes. And the same invitation was extended to victims' families. And they said yes. After showing the Murrays around the church and after showing what had taken place and what their son had done, they met in the senior pastor's office. And the pastor, when interviewed, said this: "What happened there in the 2 hours in my office was the most significant ministry moment I've ever experienced, maybe all of my life." See, because when they first entered the office, the most powerful moment happened when all of these families embraced. Victims, the shooter's parents coming together. They cried, they wept, they hugged each other. And the senior pastor later said he didn't remember how long they embraced, but they prayed together. And later on, the security guard who finally shot Murray and ended his life and ended the shooting rampage, she was invited to join them. And the shooting guard, who undoubtedly probably saved many lives that day, but was forced to shoot this man, they walked in the room. And the Murrays embraced her. The parents of the shooter embraced her son's killer and hugged her and released her from any guilt or remorse for what she had done. And the dad looked at the security guard and said, "Please know we are so sorry that you had to do what you did. We're sorry." And the article concludes with these words from the senior pastor. He said, "We can talk philosophically about repentance, about redemption, and going forward with God. But what I saw in that room in my office was the greatest testimony of forgiveness and redemption that I had ever seen. It was a testimony that God can restore and God can really redeem." Congregation, if we want a future, a big and bright future where we are happy, we must follow the teaching of Jesus in Matthew 18. And you know what? It ain't easy. It doesn't happen overnight, but it allows us to have a future. The story of the servant who was unforgiving, he had no future because he was unwilling to forgive a fellow servant. How many times must we forgive, Jesus? 77 times? Some translations say 70 times 7. That's a lot of forgiveness. It's hard. But it's not about the number. It's about the fact that we must reconcile or never be without pain that weighs us down. Today, if you want a future that is fruitful and bright, you must embrace the fact that you have no future without forgiveness. If we cannot forgive, we become angry, we become mean, and we become wounded people with no medicine for our pain. forgiveness can happen. The larger the sin, the larger the stone of wrongdoing, the more time it takes to forgive. The smaller the stone, the smaller the sin, should take less time to forgive. But the key point is, we begin working towards a future where we remember our own shortcomings, where we assume the best of people, and finally we pray for them. Because Jesus Christ wants us to have a brighter future. When we're redeemed, when we know Christ is our Savior, we begin on the path of seeking and granting forgiveness. We are people who are made to forgive. And you will have no future unless you forgive. But you share the fate of this servant who's doomed because he was unwilling to forgive. Let us pray. Lord Christ, we struggle with teachings like this. And we ask, Lord, that you can aid us in putting this into action. Lord, help us remember rap. Remember our shortcomings. Assume the best of people and pray for them. Lord, help us understand that if we are unwilling, if we're unwilling to forgive, our future is not bright, but our future is full of pain and suffering because we're not able to let go. Lord, help us to let go. Help us to know that forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. That forgiveness is not the same as condoning. But forgiveness is the process of letting go the right for revenge and being able to move forward beyond the pain. Help us with this challenge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.